Hello, everyone, and welcome back to DASCO Up for Discussion, where we talk about all things Down syndrome. I'm your host, Sarah Sewell, the Executive Director for the Down Syndrome Association of Central Oklahoma. Today, we have a very special guest joining us, Eileen Franks. We'll be diving into an important topic for everyone, early childhood intervention and development programs. So with that, let's get down to the basics. All right, Eileen, let's just dive in and get started. Today we're focusing on early childhood development, specifically the resources available here in Oklahoma for our younger individuals. And one of the key programs we want to highlight is Sooner Start. For those of you may not be familiar with Sooner Start, it's Oklahoma's early intervention program designed to support families with infants and toddlers from birth to age 3 who have developmental delays or disabilities. It operates under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or those of you don't know, IDEA, which ensures that every child has access to services that help them reach their full potential. So with that, Eileen, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Great. Thanks for asking me to do this.
Oh, absolutely. So excited to have you on today and to share a little bit about, you know, yourself and Hudson. You can tell our listeners more about him and, you know, just kind of how you got thrown into this world of Down syndrome, kind of like the rest of us. So go ahead. Okay. Do you tell us your story?
I'm happy to do that. I love talking about my family. Uh-huh. So my husband, Jason, and I have been married almost 16 years. Hudson is our oldest. He is 13. And we have Bryson, who's 10, and Hadley is 7. Hudson is our child with Down syndrome. We did not officially have a prenatal diagnosis for him. There were some signs in the ultrasound that he potentially could have Down syndrome, but we didn't have any of the further testing done. And I actually had a false negative with the blood work. It came back a 1 in 950 chance that he had Down syndrome, and thankfully the blood work was wrong because we have Hudson now, and
yeah. Yeah.
He has changed our lives. So he was born on Christmas Day 2011, about 4 weeks early. He was born with a duodenal atresia, which mm-hmm. was one of the markers for Down syndrome that we saw prenatally. So his intestines were not connected. So they immediately took him from my room to the NICU to pump his stomach and just check all vital signs, everything like that. He was in the NICU a little bit over a month. He, on day 3, had surgery to correct the duodenal atresia, and then it was just a process of him healing and learning the whole suck, swallow, breathe.
Right, right. I remember those
days. Yes, yeah. There was one time in the NICU that I was nursing him, and he quit breathing, and he coded, and everyone rushed in and resuscitated, and that was pretty traumatizing.
I'm sure.
And so, yeah, he came home at the end of January, and we've been on a journey with him ever since.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you get started with Sooner Start right away? Like, did they come to the hospital?
Yes. So when
how did that happen?
Yeah. When you're in the hospital, of course, and when you receive a diagnosis, there's so much information thrown at you.
Absolutely.
I remember I just had a notebook packed with call this person, call this organization, do this, do that, apply for this.
Mm-hmm.
And then thankfully someone told me, prioritize contacting the Down Syndrome Association and Sooner Start.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Our first 3 things is contact someone from Sooner Start, just mm-hmm. because we know those early intervention programs are so crucial.
Yep. So he came home at the end of January, and I think within a couple of weeks we had someone in our home. That time is kind of all a blur.
Sure.
But I do feel like pretty immediately, I know by the time he was 2 months old, we had someone in our home, and he went home at 1 month. So mm-hmm. we did contact Sooner Start pretty immediately. He was initially paired with a nurse, just because there were some medical things that I had questions about. A lot of follow-ups. He didn't have to have any type of heart surgery. He had a murmur. He had a small hole that closed on its own. But he was still healing from his abdominal surgery, and he also had kind of started regressing a little bit during that time, like from 3 months to about 8 months old. So I was thankful to have a Sooner Start nurse in our home who was seeing him every week.
Oh, nice.
And was seeing the regression as well. Because as a parent, sometimes I feel like we question ourselves, like, am I overthinking things? Am I overanalyzing? But she was seeing the same things. I mean, around 2 to 3 months old, he rolled over and he was doing all these great things. And then it just all stopped.
Oh, wow.
And we started noticing, like, difficulty focusing, his eyes, you know, one eye is looking forward, the other one's looking off to the side. He quit rolling over. He just seemed, he wasn't as interactive. He wasn't smiling at us. And that started a process of several months of just what in the world is going on.
Right.
The diagnosis that was given was reflux.
Oh, wow.
Severe reflux.
That doesn't sound like reflux to me.
No, we went to several specialists. I mean, his pediatrician was sending us to specialists. We did a 24-hour, you know, where they had the tube down into his stomach, just reading how much acid was, you know, regurgitating. And that came back fine. And I was like, well, it can't be reflux if that's all fine.
Right.
And they continued to just kind of say, well, don't worry about it. He seems fine. And thankfully, I came across at around when he was between 7 and 8 months old, I came across a blog that a parent had written that described infantile spasms.
Oh.
And this was online. There was a video with it. And Hudson was doing these things, and why they called it reflux is because he would just very briefly jerk, and then it would stop. Well, those had increased to where he was jerking hundreds of times a day, but it was never for an extended period of time all at once. And so I watched this video, and I thought, that is exactly what Hudson's doing. So I called the pediatrician immediately. I took my phone to the doctor, and I showed him the video, and he said, I am so sorry. I've never had a child with infantile spasms. I was not familiar with this, which I respected and appreciated that he acknowledged that, because doctors can't know everything and don't know everything, and which is why it's important as parents.
Thank goodness for your mom intuition.
Yes. And I'm thankful that his nurse, Holly, had mentioned at one point, do you think this could be seizures? And in my uneducated brain, I picture seizures like grandma seizures,
right,
where he's shaking and he loses consciousness, or, you know, all of those things. I didn't know that there were these types that were just brief jerks. And so Holly had mentioned that, and that kind of put the bug in my ear. And I even mentioned it to the doctors, and they were like, oh, no, these aren't seizures. I showed them videos of what he was doing. No, these aren't seizures. But I took that video of the child having infantile spasms to the doctor, to the pediatrician, and we were seeing neurology within 24 hours.
Yeah.
They got us right in, thankfully, because at this point he was having, come to find out, hundreds of seizures a day, which would explain the regression.
Yeah.
His poor little brain was just scrambled all day. So we were admitted initially to Children's because his neurologist was at Baptist, but Baptist at the time did not have the medication used to treat that on hand. So they sent us to Children's. The medication that's used to treat it is a steroid that wipes your immune system completely out. Unfortunately, he had an ear infection, so it was just this whole snowball of one thing after another. He couldn't start the medication because of the ear infection. And our ENT swooped in, and again, within 12 hours, had placed tubes and started an antibiotic. And so by that time, Baptist had gotten the medication, and we went back over to Baptist, since that's where his neurologist was. And this treatment was a daily injection. So we gave Hudson shots in his leg for months, every day. We were in the hospital for about a week while they taught us how to do that. And again, thankfully, Holly was walking right alongside us through all of this, because to go home and know that you're going to inject this $40,000 vial of liquid into your child's leg every day, hoping it stops the seizures, was a little overwhelming. And so she came in and helped us, you know, the first few days to make sure that we did it correctly. And we were told to expect to see Hudson, if it was effective, kind of come back to us within about a week. We did not see that. So I think he had had seizures for so long, it just had done so much damage at that point that it took him a little bit longer. We had not seen Hudson smile at that point in about 7 months. That was really hard to go from him being happy and healthy and smiling and giggling, you know, how babies start to do at several months old, to not doing that at all. And it took, it was 2 or 3 weeks before we started to see him come back to us and saw a decrease in the seizures. So that was around September, October. The last seizure that we saw, that I know that I saw, was on Thanksgiving. And
so is he almost 2 at this point?
He was almost 1.
Almost 1.
Yeah, so okay. Infantile spasms are typically seen and diagnosed around 2 to 3 months old. Mm-hmm. He was diagnosed at 8 months, mm-hmm. and then it was around 11 months once we completed that treatment. And he was on some other medications after that to try to get his brain waves back to normal. Mm-hmm. And so Holly walked with us through that whole first year, because everything after that, once he stopped having the seizures, he had to learn everything all over again. He was a year old and not rolling, and of course couldn't sit up, and the medication made him balloon up. It was basically compared to kind of like a chemo, where it wipes out your immune system. It's a steroid, so he was super swollen and he just couldn't do anything. He couldn't move. So Holly helped us through that time. I was scared to start trying to do anything, that I was scared it would hurt him or it would somehow trigger seizures again, and I didn't know what to expect. I was super thankful for Sooner Start through all of that time. And then as he transitioned health-wise to where he was more healthy, we switched from Holly to a physical therapist. Mm-hmm. And so Beanie came into our home. Sorry. Aww. I'm so thankful for that. Sorry. Yeah. So Beanie came into our home, and she just helped us learn, like, how to do things at home to encourage his development. All this time he was doing outpatient therapy, which is super helpful and has great value. But it was also very helpful to have someone coming into our environment where he is living, and with the toys that he has, and with the, you know, the resources that we have, showing us, like, maybe if you roll the blanket this way and prop it on this side of him and give him a little extra support, maybe he can sit at his high chair for a little bit. Because we were trying to figure out ways. He was so weak. His muscles were so weak from just not being able to move for so many months. He had to, like I said, relearn how to do everything. So it was very thankful. That's what I love about Sooner Start, is that the goal of Sooner Start is to come into your natural environment and help the family through their everyday routines. Our resource coordinator, Laura, she was our resource coordinator for the 3 years that Hudson was in Sooner Start. Sooner Start serves families, like you mentioned, until their third birthday. And so she was constantly coming in and helping us fill out paperwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of those applications that you're given in the hospital mm-hmm. and set, told, fill this out, do this. I remember them, Beanie and Holly and Laura, sitting with me at the dining room table for hours helping me fill out the waiting list paperwork.
Right.
Because
right.
I was told about that. Get Hudson on the list because mm-hmm. it's about 15 years long. And sure enough, he came off of it about 2 years ago.
Awesome.
So at about 11 years old, so they helped us with that application. They
you, almost
really
wish
just,
they, you almost wish they don't leave you.
Yeah.
It's like, can you stay till they're at least
I know,
six?
Five, six.
Yeah.
And believe me, it's been...
I mean, I know I had that feeling because 3 years goes by so fast.
So fast.
And like Hudson, Kirsten was a sick baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like we spent most of our time, you know, in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I know our Sooner Start person, she got permission to leave the county and she actually came to the hospital
yeah.
for Kirsten.
Yep.
And advocated for us there. But
mm-hmm.
I think when you going back to what you said, you know, helping the family, they're really a great support for
mm-hmm.
us.
And
right?
that's really, so kind of coming full circle, I now work for Sooner Start. I'm coming up on 4 years at Sooner
Yay.
Start as a resource coordinator. So they were such a huge impact in our life that they become a part of your family.
Absolutely.
It is a very vulnerable position
mm-hmm.
to welcome a professional into your home. And they see you at the best of times. They see you at the worst of times.
Right.
They see you after you've just mopped the floor. And they see you after you can't even walk across the floor
uh-huh.
because it's all you can do just to wake up and feed your baby.
Right.
We see it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so special is... Sooner Start, their goal and the heart and the desire is to empower parents to know that when it comes to your kid, you're the professional.
Right.
You're the expert. There are well-trained doctors and therapists who have input and have a huge impact in your life. But you know your child the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal of Sooner Start is to come in and teach you how to teach your child, but then also help you know how to advocate and know how to fill out the paperwork. Because like you said, we leave at 3.
Right.
So if I am just doing all of those things mm-hmm. for you, you won't know what to do
mm-mm.
when I leave at 3. You won't know how to... be the squeaky wheel and how to call when you have your kid on a wait list and say, hey,
yeah.
has anything opened up? Or just the process of the paperwork and
I think it helped prepare me personally for that first IEP meeting,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
it's very goal-based.
Yep.
So you set goals for your kid,
mm-hmm.
whether they achieve them or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's not important.
Yeah.
It's just this is what we
mm-hmm.
we expect. So I think early on, you get in your mind your expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we hold on to those expectations
yeah.
all the time. But with Kirsten, you know, her Sooner Start experience, you know, kind of similar to yours. I'm still in touch with her physical
yep.
therapist.
Yep.
And she comments all the time about how great Kirsten's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things you talked about, you know, them helping us, they taught me to think differently about, innovatively about Kirsten's care. And I just remember, like, we got a little board for her to learn to step on, and
mm-hmm.
it was only like half an inch thick,
mm-hmm.
but using the tools we have
your
in the house
yeah.
that we don't have to buy all these, you know,
mm-hmm.
excessive equipment, and there's ways to
mm-hmm.
for her to learn to walk or crawl
mm-hmm.
or feed herself
mm-hmm.
and I remember trying to get her to talk. We did some we put her in a little sheet, and she was in the middle, and one person hung, and we swung
mm-hmm.
her back and forth, and she had to sign
mm-hmm.
if she wanted more,
mm-hmm.
or she had to try to verbally say it. I would have never thought of that.
Because it was a fun activity that she loved,
yeah.
and it would motivate her, and it's
yes.
not something you would have thought of. And that's the same thing. I remember we were trying to help Hudson get, this was towards the end of Sooner Start, from a sitting position to standing up.
Yes.
And I didn't have anything in the house that was like Hudson height to sit on. And Beanie, and this shows how long ago this was, said, do you have a phone book?
Oh.
And I had a phone book. And she put two of them together, and she duct taped them. And it was the perfect, like, it hit him right at his knees.
Yeah.
And so he could sit down, and then we would hold his little hands, and he would slowly stand up. Mm-hmm. But those are the people, like you said, that celebrate with you.
Absolutely.
All along. So I kept in touch with Laura and Holly and Beanie after Hudson left Sooner Star. Hudson did not walk until a week before his fourth birthday. Mm-hmm. He was just so delayed in so many areas, and...
But he walked.
And the day that he walked, other than my husband, the first person I sent a video to was Beanie.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we celebrate all the things. I mean,
because she knows how hard
absolutely.
He worked to reach that goal. She knew better than anyone. Mm-hmm.
They came to our birthday parties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, and...
The Down Syndrome festivals, they would show up.
All the time.
And that's how, so Laura, I kept in touch. I was a teacher in my old life. and we kept in touch, and she would say, hey, there's a resource coordinator position open. I would say, no, it's not time, because we had Bryson, and then we had Hadley.
Right.
And 4 years ago, she said, hey, there's a resource coordinator position coming open. Actually, it's mine. She was leaving Sooner Start and actually going into the school. And I thought, you know what? I think I'm ready now.
Yeah.
And so I applied and was hired, and I've been there 4 years. And I knew all along that Sooner Start had made such a huge impact on us that's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to do someday. I wanted to love on families and help families through the diagnosis, through the grief, through the fear, through the anger. I appreciated them, even though none of the three of them had a child with a diagnosis of any kind. They encouraged me by saying, everything you feel is fine. You're allowed to be angry. You're allowed to be frustrated. I was so angry at some of the doctors for so long.
Yeah.
I was angry at Hudson. Like, things that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
Logically, I was frustrated with him. It wasn't his fault. There was nothing, you know. But I was sad. I grieved different things at different times. And my husband and I grieved at different times. And they were just there all along saying, yeah, that's fine.
That's
to be expected.
They also, because I have an older daughter, besides Kirsten, my daughter Addie, they showed Addie how to help her.
Yes. Yep.
And I thought that was so cool because Addie could work on her therapies,
right?
You know, like while I'm cooking dinner or whatever. And that probably was a better motivator than me doing it.
Yeah.
And Kirsten didn't even know, like, she's really working. And just the, you know, Addie would see and mimic them and learn from them. And I think it just taught her even so many good qualities even today.
Yeah.
But
and that's what we say when we go in, like when I do intake with a family, I tell them from the beginning, you may have some experience with outpatient therapy, which again is super valuable.
Sure.
Hudson is still involved in outpatient therapies. But Sooner Start is different.
Yep.
We are designed to be a family coaching program. We're not coming in and exercising your kid for an hour and leaving, or sitting across a table from them, asking them to copy facial expressions or sounds. Or we are coming in and we are working. If grandma's there, grandma's a part of the visit.
Right.
If the siblings are there, they're a part of the visit. Right. If the next door neighbor kid is there and wants to learn, they're a part of the visit.
Yep.
Our goal is to empower the entire family to know how to encourage development in the child that needs assistance. And whether that's a diagnosis of Down syndrome or autism or a million different things, or a kiddo who may be speech delayed and they need us to come for 6 months and they're done and that's fine.
I tell everybody, though, ask for all the services up front, especially for our kids with Down syndrome. Like, just make sure you're asking for all those. And Sooner Start can also check for those hearing screenings. I had our Sooner Start therapists come to Kirsten's daycare. So they came and worked alongside with her teachers.
Yep.
and they taught them innovative ways. And guess mm-hmm. what? Her whole classroom got to participate mm-hmm. in her development program. Mm-hmm. They all would be over there, oh, Kirsten needs to learn to walk. Well, let's help her. Mm-hmm. What better peer interaction, you know, yeah. than that? So I was very appreciative of the ability that it didn't always have to be in the home. Mm-hmm. It could be in any environment.
So we can go anywhere. I mean, we love working with the family because you're with them the most. Mm-hmm. But then it does make sense if they're in daycare every day. It makes sense to...
Well, I would meet them at daycare.
Meet them at daycare.
So we would schedule it during mm-hmm. my lunch hour. Yep. I'd walk down there. We would meet. And yep. if it was feeding time, we worked on that. If it was playtime, it was something else. Mm-hmm. But they got to see her explore things on the playground.
Right.
Like how she was maneuvering mm-hmm. there. So.
And that's what I was going to say. We can even sooner start if you're struggling. So our goal is to create goals or outcomes surrounding your daily routines.
Right.
So if your struggle is at the grocery store because your kiddo won't hold your hand
right.
and they're tantruming. I mean, we have some kiddos who just, a lot of their struggles may be social, emotional, mm-hmm. or we'll meet you at the grocery store.
Right.
Your provider can meet you at a grocery store mm-hmm. and you can talk through, okay, what could possibly be effective at the grocery store to motivate your kiddo to get in the cart mm-hmm. or to walk with you. Or at the playground, they take off running.
Right.
And they don't stop when you say stop. Okay, let's mm-hmm. talk about some things that we could do
right.
To teach them, you know, words that catch their attention. Mm-hmm. Or so we want to just come and be a part of whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's real life.
It is. I mean, that's what we're doing. Yeah. And like going back to those hearing screenings, mm-hmm. I think I had a new mom the other day. I was like, you get their hearing check. And they're like, Sooner Start will do that.
Yep.
I'm like, yes. They checked mm-hmm. Kirsten's hearing every 3 months. We went mm-hmm. to the health department and saw an audiologist. And we stayed. That's one yep. of the reasons how we stayed on top of her, mm-hmm. her hearing and got the tube set at an early age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll say this over and over again. Early intervention is the most important for our kids, and we
right.
know that. Studies have shown that. Mm-hmm. The earlier we can start certain things, the better. The
Absolutely.
Better for success.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I hear parents say that they denied Sooner
mm-hmm.
Start, I'm like, oh, gosh, please mm-hmm. don't do that. Don't deny
yep.
Sooner Start, and don't deny the waiver. Those are my two rules.
Right. And it's so hard when I make a phone call in the family. I mean, I have to respect...
They
when they
it.
Say, I don't want it right now, I don't need it, or he's just a baby, like, he's just doing baby things. And I try to encourage them to, like, even if we just come once a month.
Yeah.
Every other month. And then as they get older, if you decide, oh, wait, maybe I do need
yeah.
a little more support, we can increase that, how often the provider comes. And so, but we also have to respect if a family's not ready. They're not
yeah,
ready.
I
it's
totally
the same
get that.
With the Down Syndrome Association.
Yeah.
Every family that comes through Sooner Start that has a diagnosis of Down Syndrome, the first thing I tell them about is the Down Syndrome Association. 80% of them are already connected.
Right.
Or are like, absolutely, I didn't know that existed. Mm-hmm. Please get me connected. 20% say, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah.
I don't want to. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Everybody
and
goes through
you know,
their own process.
Maybe some of those listeners are out there today.
Yeah.
And I would just say, you know, get connected.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Sooner Start, you know, they educated me.
Mm-hmm.
They educated me about Kirsten's disability, about where she was at
mm-hmm.
in learning to help me cope with that.
Yeah.
Because we all grieved through
yep.
the process. Totally
sure.
normal. Did the same things, had the same emotions, cried
mm-hmm.
over the little things, celebrated over the littler things.
The little and the big and all of it in between.
Yeah. So I think they just, you know, you just see things through a different lens. And quite frankly, they were my support.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds weird. I mean, we did have the Down Syndrome Association,
mm-hmm.
and they were my support, too. But it was kind of nice to have. I look forward to it.
Yes.
Every
it was
week,
my time
I was
that
like,
I got to talk to an adult.
Yes.
And sometimes...
And be vulnerable.
They would come, and it would... The majority of the visit would be us sitting on the couch and me just saying, bleh.
Yes.
This is everything
yes.
I'm feeling.
Yes.
This is everything I'm experiencing.
But sometimes in those little conversations,
mm-hmm.
I remember one time I just happened to say... You know, I don't think she's pooped in like
mm-hmm.
three. They're like, well, let's do some
yeah,
leg exercises.
Yeah.
And come to find out she just needed some movements.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that turn into other things, you have no idea where those conversations can go. Yep. But you're right. For a moment, it was normal.
Yep.
And I think that's what was so refreshing to me, is those therapists and those resource coordinators, I could talk to them about anything, and that was my normalcy.
Right.
Because we were thrown into a not normal situation.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, we're supposed to be the experts. Mm-hmm. And
it's a learning curve for all of us. And thankfully, so many of the providers and resource coordinators too have been doing it for so long that they've seen it.
Yeah.
They've worked with other families with a similar diagnosis and can make those connections too.
You have good stories.
Yes. Oh, yes. For sure.
You have some good stories to share.
I do. But another part that I'm super passionate about, which may be jumping ahead a little bit, that as we said, it only goes until the age of 3.
Yes.
And we don't leave you hanging at 3. We do help with the transition process from Sooner Start services to public school services.
Right.
Or some families may opt out of that, and we make sure that you know about all the outpatient therapy options and child guidance,
we want those to
Sooner
continue.
Success, and you know, all of those resources in the community. We try to connect you so that you're not stopping our services at 3 and then just think, I'm all alone.
Uh-huh.
What do I do now? So I'm super passionate about the process of helping with the transition to public schools, because I know how important that is and how overwhelming, again, it feels like, oh my goodness, I'm supposed to send my 3-year-old baby to a public school. And Hudson, like I said, wasn't walking, was not talking, could not feed himself, was in diapers. So many things. I mean, he was developmentally around 6 to 8 months old.
Yep.
And so to think about sending my baby to school just was so overwhelming. And so to have Sooner Start walk me through that entire process too, and help me with the enrollment paperwork, and then help me attend the evaluation with me. We'll do whatever the family wants us to do. They'll attend, if the family wants, we'll attend an IEP meeting with them. That's really up to the family, but we just want to make sure that you feel supported as you leave our services and go into the world.
Right. And those services are continued. I think that's what I was taught was, you know, it should be a smooth transition. Like you can keep the same services. It's going to be a different therapist and environment, but we're still going to have the same goals, but we're still going to continue physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, maybe behavioral therapy if needed. And because the goal is to get them ready for kindergarten. Like, that's the goal. And some schools I know don't have a preschool program. That's okay. You can still do your services, you know, through them. But I will say, just walking through the next process, and you'll notice, I mean, I know with our kids, there's a next stage every kind of 3 to 6 years or so. You know, there's transition
something
from new, Sooner Start into the public school. And then you're going to transition into elementary school. And then you're going to transition into upper elementary and then middle school. And every transition has its own set of obstacles. But I think from starting out from Sooner Start, they teach us early on as parents how to get there and what
next
step is.
Right. They may not be there to hold my hand when we're transitioning. Right now we're transitioning Hudson from elementary school to middle school.
Right.
And they're not specifically helping me with that transition, but they gave me the resources and the knowledge and the support to know how to ask the right questions. And how to push for certain things. Hudson has a full-time paraprofessional.
Yeah.
He has since pre-K. He is going to continue to have one. Hudson now has a diagnosis. A few years ago, he received a diagnosis of autism. He still has several things going on developmentally that are challenging, and he needs a full-time para. And if I had not known from the beginning who to talk to or how to ask questions or how to say, I feel like he needs a little bit more.
Yes.
I never would have asked.
I know.
And he wouldn't have had a para. Mm-hmm. And who knows what.
Who knows where we would be, right? And I think that about, you know, a lot of our families. But just, can you kind of just explain the process of how someone gets connected with mm-hmm. Sooner Start? I know it's kind of different for everyone, mm-hmm. but what's the typical process?
So anyone can make a referral. A doctor, a lot of times we get referrals from the hospital. Mm-hmm. If a child has a diagnosis, we'll get a referral directly from the hospital. We have daycare teachers that make referrals. We have next door neighbors that make referrals.
Wow.
Like, hey, I saw this kid next door. I feel like maybe he's struggling. Like, I've never heard him say a word and he's 2.5. Mm-hmm. And you can make an anonymous referral.
Okay.
And I can call the family and say, hey, we received this referral. I'm not sure who submitted the referral, but just so you know, we're here and this is what we do and this is how we can help. And a parent can make a referral themselves.
Okay.
Really, it's just getting connected and getting the word of Sooner Start out there. Uh-huh. There are still sometimes pediatricians that don't know about Sooner Start. I'll get a phone call from a family and it's so frustrating when they're 2.5 years old and we only have 6 months with you. And they'll say, I never knew about Sooner Start. My doctor never told me about Sooner Start. Mm-hmm. Or I didn't know that he needed help.
It's almost like everybody should have a screening mm-hmm. is how I feel. Yeah. You know, wouldn't that help make your job a lot?
Yes.
Well, it might make your job a little more complex. But
that's fine.
It would get
A referral be made. And after the referral is made, the resource coordinator calls and does an intake with the family. Mm-hmm. Tell me about their birth history. Tell me about any medical information. Do they have a diagnosis of any kind? What are your concerns? How can we help?
Yeah.
And then once that referral and the intake is complete, if they have an automatic qualifying condition like Down syndrome or autism mm-hmm. or all of those other diagnoses, there's a list of several hundred, then we don't have to do an evaluation. We just get started. If they don't have one, we do an evaluation. At that evaluation, it lasts a couple of hours typically. We look at 5 areas of development, and in order to qualify, you need to have a 50% delay in one of the 5 areas or a 25% delay in 2 different areas. Mm-hmm. I could try to list them. I'll probably forget. Communication, physical, so gross and fine motor, adaptive, I knew social, emotional. I knew I would forget them because I'm on the spot. But there's 5 areas.
Yeah.
And so if they qualify based on those delays,
right,
then we take them to staffing and we say, okay, these are the parents' primary concerns. Mm-hmm. So for some families, they may say, I just want my kid to be able to tell me what's wrong when he's crying. Okay, then it sounds like we need to set you up with a speech therapist or a child development specialist. Or my 2-year-old still is not steady walking. They qualified in gross motor skills or gross and fine motor. Okay, let's get a PT or an OT. Mm-hmm. So we have on staff, we have in Oklahoma County, which is where I work, we have child development specialists, speech therapists, physical therapists, occupational therapists. We have a nutritionist.
Yeah.
We have a behavioral health technician, and we have a nurse. So based on your area of concern, we pair you with a provider. Typically you have one primary provider, and then we bring in
the supplemental supports
if you need consults with mm-hmm. say you have a speech therapist and you bring in a consult for an OT, PT, mm-hmm. whatever you may need. We can do that. So,
and Sooner Start's based by county, mm-hmm. correct?
Yep.
So there's a resource coordinator in every county,
and
or do they share some counties?
So it depends. There are some areas of Oklahoma that the very rural areas where there may be one resource coordinator for 4 different counties,
right,
and they travel.
Right.
Oklahoma County has 12 resource coordinators.
Okay.
Tulsa also has 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
So we're the 2 bigger counties.
Yeah.
Then like you mentioned, we do. So Oklahoma County in our Sooner Start office has an audiologist,
mm-hmm.
has an audiology booth 2 days a week. We have audiologists in the office and we can schedule hearing tests mm-hmm. there. A lot of counties, they do it at their health department.
Yeah. That's where we went for Cleveland County was we just went to the health department mm-hmm. and in funding. Mm-hmm. How is Sooner Start
federally
funded?
And state funded?
Nice.
So it's free for families.
Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to point out. It's free.
Yes,
you don't. This is not charged to your Medicaid or insurance. It's
free. So Medicaid, we do.
Right.
So Medicaid, if the child has Medicaid, if the family gives permission, we will bill Medicaid as one of our funding sources, which is super great if we can supplement that funding through Medicaid. If the family chooses not to sign a release allowing us to bill Medicaid, we're still free.
Okay.
You can have Medicaid and we cannot bill Medicaid and you can still receive services. We do not bill private insurance. We have families who are uninsured. We serve everyone.
Right.
We are not serving any certain socioeconomic status. We serve everyone regardless of income.
It's based on the child.
Free. It's based on the child and their needs.
I think the one thing they did help Kirsten with, she got a kid walk, and that was charged to her insurance. But they researched it out, resourced it, found the best option, found what our insurance would take, and I was so thankful for that because she had that for about a year. But
They can help with equipment and
even devices,
bath chairs. They can help with like AC devices.
Yeah.
So they can help walk through that process of applying and getting insurance to cover. And a lot of times that process can take a while. And so it may then pass on to the outpatient therapist that they're seeing or the school therapist if it's not completed by the time they age out.
Or the waiver.
Or,
Once they hit the waiver at age three, which we do have families and individuals who are coming off out of Suitor Start and going right into the waiver,
which is amazing.
Which is what it was designed
to do.
You go straight from Suitor Start to those public schools, and the waiver is supplemental in there to provide those self-directed services. Anything else you want to share about Suitor Start?
So I'll be very brief. I think Suitor Start is amazing. Just refer. Let us at least come and meet your family.
Sure.
The other thing, we're completely voluntary. So if at any point you decide you're not a fit, like if you decide that your therapist is not a fit, that's what my job is. Tell me there our personalities don't mesh, and I'll say, okay, I'll find a new person for you. Or if you say, life is chaos, we want to suspend services for a little bit, we can do that, and then you can come back. If Suitor Start just isn't a fit, and you want to explore other options, you can fire us at any time. We are completely voluntary, so at least try us.
Yeah, I mean, it's so worth it.
And we just want to help.
I don't know of a parent that did Suitor Start that... I mean, they've had some bad experiences.
Sure,
I heard that.
Yeah.
Everybody does. But I think when you get with the right supports, it's 1,000% for our kids and is so beneficial and really taught me a lot. And I'm so thankful because as you and I, you were president of the board whenever I came on as the executive director. And somehow I think maybe Suitor Start led us on some of these paths.
I think so. The connections we've made. And
yeah.
I mean, some of my closest friends now are other moms who have kids with Down syndrome that just get it.
Yeah.
And I can call and say, Hudson just did this, or Hudson's not doing this. And they can celebrate with me, and they can grieve with me.
Cry with you.
Cry with me.
Yeah.
And they just get it.
Well, I love it that you are a resource coordinator because you can connect those families to us that have a loved one with Down syndrome when they're ready. We know sometimes, you know, they're not, and we totally are respectful of that. But we just like to have somebody in our corner.
Yep, I love it.
And I'm so thankful for you and the time with
us
today. And I can't wait for our listeners to listen to this episode and learn more about all the early intervention program. So we just hope that you enjoyed this episode talking about early childhood intervention and development programs. Stay tuned because we have so many more conversations ahead. We also want to hear from you. So if you have questions, if you have ideas to share, topics you'd like for us to talk about and cover, please reach out and you can email us at info@dsaco.org or visit us on our website at dsaco.org. And don't forget to subscribe, and that you never miss an episode. If you found this episode helpful, please share it and share it with other families. Post about it. There are so many people that we know we're still not reaching, and we would just love to hear from you, because we know the more that we spread the awareness, the stronger that our community comes. So thank you for being with us today.